lot of testosterone up here. Man, I like it. Matthew chapter 13. I began preaching in a conference in Alabama Tuesday night, and I'll be preaching Wednesday night. Brother Ben Ray will be preaching for us here. Zach said, that's news to me. But Ben will be preaching. I hadn't had him preach in a good while. He's a good preacher, and evidently he's a good singer too. But be here Wednesday night, and let me ask you to pray for me. I'll be preaching Tuesday night with Dr. Mike Edwards. We'll both be preaching together, and then I'll be preaching Wednesday night. Debbie, who am I preaching with Wednesday night? Dr. Joe Author, and he is a. How many know Joe Author? You've heard him preach. He is a preaching machine, man. I mean to tell you. So I'll finish last on Tuesday behind Brother Edwards, and I'll start Wednesday. So I'll just get out of Brother Author's way and let him get at it. But you be in your place, if you would, please. And please pray for me. I really want the Lord to use me. If God's not going to use me there, I don't even want to go. But I ask the Lord to help. I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 13 tonight. I want you to really focus on the first part. Stay with me. Because in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the parables of leaven. And leaven is something that we're not used to talking about today. We don't really use that in our language, I don't think, that much. I think that the closest thing we use is level. But the Bible talks a lot about leaven. Now, leaven is never used in the Bible as a positive. It's always a negative. And in verse 33 of Matthew 13, the Bible says, another parable spake he unto them. And this is what he said. It said, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven speaks about this earth and the earth, this earth's influences. It differs from the kingdom of God because in the kingdom of God is his dwelling place. So it says that the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, what is leaven? The New Testament word for leaven is descriptive of sourdough, which is bread dough that has a high state of fermentation. We serve the Lord's table or the Lord's supper, and in that we have bread that represents his body. And it is unleavened bread. It's not been mixed. It's pure. There was no guile found in him, the Bible says. And leaven is the ingredient that was used to cause bread to rise. And throughout the New Testament, leaven has always, always been a negative meaning. Leaven is an added ingredient that ferments and corrupts the mixture to which it is added. So leaven is used to describe many things, but it describes false doctrine that becomes mixed with good doctrine, thus corrupting the good doctrine. For example, in Matthew 16, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, let me make note here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated each other. They were in a constant competition. And the Pharisees were more of a staunch, strict belief system, and the Sadducees were much more relaxed. But the things that they agreed on, the only thing that they could agree on is they hated Jesus. And they were constantly rebuking the Son of God, and they were constantly accusing him of not keeping the Sabbath. So he says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I speak and not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And then Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, leaven is symbolic of the influence as well of disobedient church members. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, it doesn't take a whole truckload, a whole shovelful, just a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. We got a glass here. I don't know. It probably holds 8 ounces or a little more than 8 ounces of water. But you just put a little bit of leaven in there. Not a lot, just a tad. And just a little drop leavens the entire glass. Leaven is something that we as a church body, and as Christian believers individually need to beware of and be cautious of. You see, it takes around 2 pounds, to make around 2 pound loaf of bread, you'll need around 4 cups of flour. And in order to rise that amount of flour, it takes less than 2 teaspoons of yeast or leaven. In other words, it doesn't take much. In Matthew 13, verse 33, he speaks about the kingdom of heaven. Here again, he's talking about the influences of earth on the child of God. And Jesus, he's not teaching that the Christian could be the leaven in the world, to that spot of good to enrich all the world. He's teaching the direct opposite of that. He's taught that this world can influence Christians and corrupt them. And this is the reason for statements that are found in the Bible like this. James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking to his people. He's saying that the child of God has committed adultery, has been unfaithful to their God. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, you know this verse well. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it simply doesn't take a whole lot of leaven to leaven the entire lump of dough. Neither does it take a whole lot of world to corrupt a good Christian and an entire church. Jesus spoke of 3 kinds of leaven. Let's look at them tonight. Number one, notice the leaven of the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one unto another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. This is the leaven of hypocrisy. Now, we heard a great message on hypocrisy from evangelist Rick Flanders when he was here. Have you forgotten that? Hope not. If you have, you need to get the DVD and listen to it again. Hypocrisy is the practice of professing beliefs, feelings, and virtues that you do not possess. Make it a little bit simpler, like Brother Flanders did. Hypocrisy is just pretending. It was Ananias and Sapphira who came in, and they were hypocrites. They pretended to do what was the right thing, what they said that they were doing. Barnabas had land and sold it and brought the money laid at the disciples or the apostles' feet. So Ananias and Sapphira, they conjured up this big scheme to do the same and have the same credit, have the same testimony, to be thought of by men as Barnabas was thought of, but they held back the price. Peter made it very clear that they didn't have to sell the land. It was theirs. They didn't have to. He made it very clear that they didn't have to give all the money, that it was up to them. But for them to say that they did this and did it not, they were hypocrites. They were in hypocrisy. They were pretending. Hypocrisy is a life of falseness, pretense, and play-acting. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. It is pretending you are one thing while being something else. Now, let me tell you, normally, after a period of time, if the word of God is preached, the hypocrite gets right one way or the other. He breaks under the preaching of God's word and gets close to God, or he leaves altogether. But he can't stay under that type of conviction. He can't stay under that type of preaching. The Pharisees pretended to be spiritual leaders, but they were actually the blind leading the blind. They had their special gowns, their robes, and they had their special wrappings, and they had their special frontlets, and they would go to the marketplace, and they would stretch forth their arms, and they would get the attention of all people, and they would list all the things that they do, how they tithe and how they fast, and even point out that I'm glad I'm not like this publican man over here, a sinner. And they felt very much of themselves, and they would use the law for loopholes to even save their own money. They pretended to be spiritual leaders. And when Jesus would rebuke them, it caused the people to not look to them, and they hated him for that. And they would try where his disciples were walking through a field on the Sabbath and ate some corn, where he healed the blind man on the Sabbath day, and constantly came and they tried to persecute him. They tried to prosecute him. See, he says he's the Son of God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. And the Lord would take his word, and by the way, he was the walking word, and would turn around and make them look like the hypocrites that they were, and they hated him for it. The worst kind of hypocrisy is not when you pretend to be something or someone you're not. I believe the worst kind of hypocrisy is when you do not live what you really are as a child of God. Now, Brother Flanders said something that I think was just rich and really simplistic but deep at the same time. He says that it's easy for us to pick out and say, you know, I saw Ben Ray. He's a hypocrite, man. You know, I saw him say something to Andrea. She was talking to him about having so much water in the kitchen sink. And he said, woman, I don't want to hear that stuff, you know. And I saw Zach and Lydia Ray. And Lydia was going, get that garbage out, boy. You're going to be in trouble. And his shoulders were down. His head was down. He was just beaten. And, you know, what hypocrites they are. Can I tell you this? Flanders, Brother Flanders said this, and it's true. Some people aren't hypocrites. They're just weak. They have a high standard that they have set, and they've not met that. But it doesn't mean that they're in hypocrisy. It's mean that they're just spiritually weak and don't attain that standard that they have there. And Brother Flanders said this. I thought it was just great. The problem with many Christians is they don't have a high enough standard set, so they don't have a whole lot of problem falling from that. I don't think that I'm a hypocrite, but I tell you what, I am a man, and at times I'm weak. I'm weak in my faith. I'm weak in areas. And let me tell you something. Every one of you are too. Every one of you are. It doesn't mean that we're hypocrites. But the hypocrites are pretending. They're pretenders. And, you know, if you know me at all, there's not a lot of pretense with me. Never has been for 27 years. What you see is what you get. That's the way I am. I should be, you know, if I could be different, I think of Pastor Rich Sevilla. He's got to be the most meekest, sweetest, godliest Christian pastor I know. Allison's not that. Eddie Ray's not that. I'm not that. Man, we're three bulls in a china cabinet. But Brother Sevilla, he is just so kind, so loving. And I by the way, I've told him this, and so has Brother Ray. We were in the hospital, all three of us together, and making a visit. And we Brother Ray and I just started talking about what a great Christian, such a kind Christian. I think of Dan Reed, Pastor Dan Reed, and what a gracious and gracious man he is. Brother Reed was talking one time, and he said, you know, when I was a young man, I would die on every hill. In other words, he would take a stand on everything, and there wouldn't be a hill he wouldn't die on. He says, now that I'm older, I choose my hills wisely. He said, for instance, someone came to me and put a gun to my head and said, smoke a cigarette, I'm going to blow your brains out. He said, I believe I'd smoke a cigarette. I said, Dan, you'd smoke the whole pack. I tease him all the time. What a great man of God he is. You see, Christians fall into this leaven of the Pharisees all too often. Instead of living like children of God, they live like children of hell. And then when the word of God is preached with reproof and rebuke and correction, they get mad at the speaker. By the way, that's not anything different. John the Baptist didn't preach on dancing, but he went to Herod, and who had taken his brother's wife, and pointed his finger at him and said, it's sinful. You're living in adultery. You've taken your brother's wife, and God's going to deal with you about it. And they hated him ever since then. And his head was on a silver platter because of it. Can you say amen? You see, Christians fall into leaven. Hypocrisy. The Bible says, love not the world in 1 John 2:15. And there's this great enchantment with the world. It's always been there. Neither the things... We're not to love the world or the things that are in the world. That doesn't mean that we should hate electricity and hate cars and go in a horse and buggy. But you know what it means. Anything that steals the affection of our love to our God is wrong. And we see here, he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I want you to know this too. You're as close to God as you want to be. If you're not as close to God as you should be, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He says, you've been unfaithful. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't want to be God's enemy. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one day, heaven's going to beckon me. Man, I'm so tired of young people trying to look like the Beeb. Is that what he's called? Do you not have any kind of identity yourself? You know, teenagers always want to say, man, I've got to be an individual. You know, I got, you know, and you see boys wearing makeup and see boys wearing black fingernail polish And you see girls, good Lord, look like they came through a chain factory. There's so many chains hanging on them. And they, you know, they call it goth, and they have different things like this they pass through. I think, where's their parents? Well, they're just going through a fashion. They're just going through a fad. They're just going through you know. Well, God gave them parents to help them not go through that stuff, you know. And there's this hypocrisy. We're pretending. We come to church and nothing happens. Why? A lot of pretenders. But I tell you what, if we're earnest in our prayer, if we're seeking God and we turn to God and we ask God for his power and for his presence, that's when things happen. There's the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. Then there's the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And this is false doctrine. Notice Matthew chapter 16, verse 11 and 12. How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not of you concerning bread? Jesus said, I'm not talking about bread. That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You see, some people take from this preaching, for now on we're going to go home and we're not going to eat anything, no yeast in our bread. We're going to just eat unleavened bread. And that's not the message here. Thank God for yeast. The best leavened bread has a hole in the middle of it, which I am off of currently. I went to make a visit. I went yesterday to visit the Colemans, and they had a very hard week this week, and I was concerned about them. And Debbie and I went to visit them, and I have often stopped and got a dozen donuts. I never go to Mrs. Hosey's house without a dozen donuts. I say, preacher, you never come to me. And I was riding over to their house, driving over there, and I thought, I ought to stop and get a dozen donuts for them. Wouldn't that be sweet? Wouldn't that be kind? Wouldn't that be a nice gesture? Wouldn't that be Christian? And then my own flesh spoke to me and said, you don't have any compassion for the Colemans. You just want a donut. This is not about the Colemans. This is about you. So I knew I couldn't do it. And I told the Colemans that too. They were sad. Verse 12 of Matthew 16. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leavened bread. Not anything wrong with that. But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, this leaven's a leaven of false doctrine. And the churches are filled with false doctrine. There's the false doctrine of lordship salvation. There's the false doctrine of baptism regeneration. There's the false doctrine of post-tribulation rapture or mid-tribulation rapture. There's the false doctrine of Old Testament salvation by the law. There's the false doctrine of Baptist bride. There's the false doctrine of false view of repentance. There's a false doctrine of a false view of grace. There's a false doctrine of praying to Mary for salvation. There's a false doctrine that we have no perfect Bible. There's a false doctrine of modern day tongues. There's the false doctrine of God has not preserved his word, and no one really has the word of God. There's a false doctrine of the charismatic movement. There's a false doctrine of contemporary Christian rock and roll, and music is amoral. There's a false doctrine of theistic evolution. There's a false doctrine of lifestyle evangelism. There's a false doctrine of hyper-Calvinism. There's a false doctrine of false election and predestination. There's a false doctrine of liberalism and modernism, and it goes on and on and on, and our churches are full of it. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of false doctrine. Can I tell you something? There's a real heaven, there's a real hell. Can I tell you something? When we die, we go to one or the other, and there's no second chances. There's no limbo, and there's no purgatory. Can I tell you this? We do have God's word, and we have God, and we have his spirit. Understand, we need to understand, we need to realize the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees is false doctrines. He said it very clear in Matthew 16, 11, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And he says in verse 12, he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Lastly, there's the false there's the leaven of Herod. He says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is the leaven of worldliness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. He says, get it out. Dig it out, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus addresses this kind of leaven. In Matthew 23, verse 14, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive a greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That's strong preaching. Verse 16, he says, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. He says in Matthew 23, verse 23 through 28, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Don't you get sick of that? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You don't sit down with a cup and it's clean on the outside, but on the inside it's full of filth, and use that cup. You don't sit down with a platter and it's clean on the outside and the bottom, but there's all types of dirt on the inside. He says, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and our uncleanness, and all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto man, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Worldliness has so infiltrated the church. Its music is worldly. Its plan or program is worldly. Its clothing and attire of immodesty is worldly. Charles Spurgeon said, London gets its fashions from Paris, and Paris gets its fashion from hell. And we have women today that look at the red carpet and see what the whores of Hollywood are wearing, and they let that influence them. They have a laughter, they have a humor between them when they look at a godly lady, a godly woman who's dressed, who's covered herself, doesn't have things so tight and so restricting and so that you don't even need to have an imagination. You can just see every bump and every pimple everywhere. I get so sick of it walking out. Just driving around, just walking out. Well, you can't walk through the mall without seeing just pure and modern. You know, it's amazing to me. And I can understand how some people debate the issues of the distinction of the sexes. And I've debated, I've talked with some, and I can see some of the flags. But I'll tell you something. There's no debate when it comes to immodesty. Can I say something about immodesty too? We can rain hell on the women and on the girls about immodesty. But let me tell you something, man. We can be immodest too. Put a shirt on. Nobody wants to see your 12 hairs on your chest. Put a shirt on. You know, nobody wants to see your knees either. We get our fashions from Hollywood, from movie stars. And then we take them to church, and sometimes we take them to the platform of the church. By the way, that's why we have a workers' covenant. You know what a lot of pastors do? They cowardly cover their immodest women with choir robes. And God bless them, they have to, because you see all the valleys and everything else the woman has. It's amazing some places that I preach, and if I have a platform lower than this platform, some of the women sitting in the front view, I have to control my eyes because of just how low plunging their neckline is. In church! Yeah. We preach today in our churches psychology. We have become motivational speakers in the pulpits. And everybody leaves applauding and thinking, how wonderful, how wonderful. They talk about how a Buddhist and how a Muslim and how Christian Science can go to that church and all leave there blessed. I want to tell you something. Doctrine divides. We have a major issue. We have more of the world in the church than we do the church working out in the world. I'll tell you something. The church has become so involved with basketball and football and fun and afterglows. And I'm not against any of that. I loved all of that. And it was things like that that got me in church. Understand, I didn't go to church. Didn't have to go to church. Never went to church. Didn't want to go to church. But it was sports and activities and some of the sweeter things in the youth group that caused me to go. But where are you at on teen soul winning? How many tracts did you pass out this week? How many people did you talk about Christ? How many folks did you invite? Yeah, I'm glad you scored 20 points in a game. I'm glad that you played great defense. I'm glad you got so many rebounds. Hey, I'm glad you won your volleyball game. But let me ask you something. Life is not full of games. We are ambassadors of Christ. Where's your responsibility to give the gospel? And why don't you parents have them here? You ought to have them here. The Bible says in the early church, they went out. That's what we do. It's a biblical thing. Just because you've been in other churches before that never did that, let me say, those churches probably never had a missionary in it either. Leaven is an interesting teaching in the Bible. It only takes a little bit of leaven. James, bring me that glass, would you please? A lot of water, just a drop. Just a drop. Anybody want to drink this? I've got a choice. Which one you think I want to drink? Say, well, Pastor, it's only food coloring. Next time I'll use motor oil. Water and oil don't mix. Now, if we're thinking of people, I think, boy, I tell you what, those folks who sit over there, they got leaven. And boy, these folks who sit back here, they got leaven. These folks who sit up here, they got leaven. Let me tell you something, we better be concerned about our own leaven. It's the bad that always corrupts the good when it mixes. Though your sins be as scarlet. It's the leaven that makes the change in the flour, not the flour that affects the leaven. And although a Christian in the world may make a difference in the world and the Christian will change him completely. The Bible you used to read and study becomes cast to the side. Time when you used to cry out in prayer and with tears has been turned to entertainment, recreation. The seriousness of never dying souls is no longer the burden as much as we are exonerated and excited about our team winning the game. God help us. Beware of leaven, the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of false doctrine, the leaven of worldliness. For these little bitty, just a little drop, loses the glory and the power and the presence of God in our life, in our homes, and in our church. Stand with me. Father, help us. Help us to get real. With ourselves. If we're weak, help us and strengthen us. But if we're pretenders, may we get right. Lord, we need help. We wonder why we go out and see no one saved. We wonder why we pray and have no answers. We wonder why the arm of the flesh is forever busy. And the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Help us to beware of leaven. May we not be pretenders, but be consecrated believers unto you. Help us to examine the doctrine. And may the Spirit of God reveal to us what's false and what's not. For it's the truth that sets us free. And then, Lord, help us to not be weird or strange, like some kind of tribal people, but, oh God, the immodesty and the worldliness and our entertainment and recreation and how it's taken place of our spirituality, of spiritual things that we used to do. Help us. Help us to be broken. Help us to be grieved over it. Help us to be sorrowful over it. Help us to be ashamed of it. Help us to be a fervent child of God. Tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you should come. And I encourage you to come and cry out for others, but cry out for yourself first. Let a man examine himself. You come now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ask the instruments to stop for just a moment. I'll tell you this, don't sit in your pew and say, I'm not that bad. It's not that bad. A little leaven leaveneth the whole. Listen, a little leaven can destroy a whole family. A little leaven can destroy a church. A little leaven unchecked, unkept, can let the devil in. I can't believe we really don't have a greater moving tonight. I can't believe that we can say, not bad, I'm okay. God help us. Are our hearts so hard? Have we gotten so hard in our hearts? Are we so proud? Are we the church of Laodicea and have need of nothing? And we can't see how wretched, poor, and blind we truly are. God help us. One last stanza, you come. Close in prayer, and right away, young people, get over to the other building for the activity. Parents, let your young people stay for, what, about an hour? Is that what it's going to be, Brother Rick? That'd be fine. Brother Hunt, dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for this evening's message. God, speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for your love and your compassion. I thank you for your word. God, to speak so true, God. Now, Lord, as we go about our week, Lord, I pray that we would keep this message on our hearts and in our minds, that, dear God, we might do business with you all week. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless.